Pete, thanks for joining again. And I guess this is really the second part to our initial conversation around coaching. And you know, we were talking about supporting emerging and maybe new CEOs in as they get into their role. Pete, I'd like to reflect on, again, the feedback we've got from clients, CEOs, around the coaching experience. And I want to talk about the outcomes from this. So the observations, again, have been that they had a certain expectation around what they were expecting from having you on board and coaching them. But the actual outcome, or outcomes, plural, interesting enough, have all been quite different. And in many cases, they've admitted, have led to quite fundamental changes to the way they're now running the business. Does that surprise you? You know, you've been doing this now for a long time. What's your kind of thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think there's always an element of, a surprise, perhaps, of good expectations. In other words, I go into these first coaching sessions talking about my golden triangle of outcomes, which is challenge, motivation, and recognition. And I think a lot of the people that come to their first session are thinking about particular problems. In other words, more of a mentoring approach. Yeah. Hey, I've got this laundry list of problems I want to try and solve, and I need another CEO's idea on how to solve it. And that's not really what the coaching is about. The coaching is about going back to, I've got this with the exclamation mark. What tools have I got at my hand to do things differently on a daily basis that solves those problems for me? So I think they learn a lot more about themselves, their capabilities, and essentially their confidence to do things after coaching.
And that seems to come through in the conversations without getting specific details. You know, that yes, there was an observation of, gee, you know, I thought I was strong on this area, but actually I've now realized that I need to change. And again, it was based on that conversation with you and the challenges that you put forward, but it's all productive. I mean, it's all positive, but I think that, you know, certainly I can think of a couple of comments where they've said, yes, you know, I've acknowledged now I'm going to approach this slightly differently, and they've now seen the benefit of that approach. And Pete, you know, you've just touched on here this expectation around the coaching maybe being a more of a mentoring, and this difference between mentoring and coaching. And I know you're quite particular about that. Could you just expand a little bit on that?
Yeah, absolutely.
It does get confused, I think.
People do get confused. Yeah. People think it's the same thing. And often you can go to someone and say, have you been coached before? And they say, oh, yeah, many times. But what they're really meaning is they've been mentored through a project or a problem or a situation. Again, mentoring is you come to me with questions and I provide you the answers to your questions. That's mentoring. In other words, I'm the wise head. I've got all the experience and I'm going to share that experience to solve a problem for you. That's mentoring. Coaching is I go to you with the questions and you reflect back on yourself to find the answers and solve those problems yourself. And I use my experiences to craft really insightful, meaningful questions that stop you to pause and think, not just say the first thing that comes into your head. Yeah. The whole point is to dig below that, get into the gold, so to speak, dig down and find what really is the challenge that we're facing here.
Sure. Yeah. Pete, I guess that then leads to the final question, which is around the type of personality that you see as a CEO. And you know, as I've said, and people will know who follow you, Pete, that, you know, you've been a CEO yourself. You've worked with many CEOs. Do you see a difference in terms of personality, in terms of personality type, that is going to be more acceptable, more open to this idea of coaching? And clearly we've demonstrated that there's significant benefits. And in some respects, you know, you'd argue, especially as emerging CEO, you know, it really is something you need to do because it is this kind of lonely position. And I wonder if you come across someone who you just see the brick wall up there. Well, I'm now the CEO, king of the land, and everyone look at me and I've got all the answers. And that kind of mental approach basically blocks their ability to truly become actually a really good CEO.
Yeah, it looks... I think there's some attributes that make for good CEOs. One is the ability to listen and receive feedback. I've worked with a lot of people, Ed, we've worked with a lot of people
yes.
who not only do not listen, but do not want feedback.
Yes.
And they're the people that are just not ready for coaching.
You're right. And that's a really good topic. And you hear that being discussed a lot. Or, you know, around the barbecue and in the media, you know, they listened, but nothing ever changed. And really what that tells you is they were just listening, but the ears were blocked.
Yeah, invariably they weren't actually listening at all. They were just watching your face move and nodding and acknowledging that you're saying something to them. But there is that filter between you and them, which is, I know better, I know right, or I just don't need to listen to this because I'm on my own path.
Yeah.
And those people do not make good leaders, do not make good CEOs. A leader is the servant of their teams and is the motivator and the engine, essentially, that motivates this vehicle towards its destination. So you've set the destination. You've now got to make sure that everything within that vehicle is working to get you to the destination. And if you're not listening to the feedback, in other words, the motor sounds a bit rough, you're going to break down and you're going to make your destination.
And again, listening to, you know, comments from the people we've interviewed, that acceptance that it's okay to change course. You know, you're not perfect. You know, you've just said, you know, you need to acknowledge that sometimes things will go wrong and maybe you thought that was the right approach and it's not. And again, the feedback from the team is, now this is not working. I think the good leader, in my experience, is the one who says, absolutely. Well, you know what? I've listened to you and I'm now prepared to adopt a slightly different path and then see the success of that. And that then bolsters, I think, them in terms of how they're perceived as a leader and CEO, as much as bringing the benefits of what they've changed. Any kind of thoughts on that, Pete, in terms of communication and acceptance that you're not always 100% perfect?
Yeah, part of this is not only accepting the feedback, but it's reflecting on it and putting it to good use. So a good leader will listen very carefully and quite intently to what's coming in. So how is that engine running? And then if the engine is idling poorly, if it's not performing, you have to own that. So this is part of being humanistic. Like, CEOs aren't robots. They aren't idols. They aren't some sort of religious icon. They are humans, and humans invariably make mistakes, and it's okay to make mistakes. That's what we learn from. I think it's how you present that to the team that you don't panic the horses. So it's, okay, guys, we've moved on the wrong path here, but we can correct to go back the other direction. And that's the thing about missions. Missions aren't static or stoic. They change. What should be unerring is the vision. Where are you trying to drive to?
Yeah.
Things will always get in the way. What you've got to do is figure out how to navigate around that as and when it's approaching, or if you can see far enough ahead to alter course before then.
Sure.
Now, if you head down a blind alley and you can't go any further and you have to back out of it, then that's just what you have to do.
Yeah.
But you need to own that and take the responsibility. It's not always something that the team needs to own. That's yours.
Yeah.
But then you need to keep motivating to take the right path.
Pete, do you think, it's really fascinating actually, do you think therefore the boards who will typically appoint the CEO acknowledge that? Because you do see, again, without getting too specific, you know, I can see a couple of examples where, you know, you might have a person who was brought in to be the CEO of a non-for-profit. And that humanistic element, maybe their drive doesn't match that kind of culture within that organization. And then you have an interesting kind of rub. You might have the competence to perform, but there's that X factor, there's that thing. Any thoughts or observations on that? I mean, do you think boards get this when they select CEOs?
The enlightened board world, how many enlightened boards are out there? Not that many that I've seen. I think they work to a to a playbook or to a job description and say, I need someone that has these skills. I think part of the essential element that needs to be teased out in this is, do they have the attributes to work within this profile? And touching on your point around around nonprofit, it's very much about, do they understand the community that they're working for, and have they come from that community, and do they have some sort of affinity within that space? And the board should be nurturing that in a nonprofit. What can happen is if you've brought someone in from a very commercial background that's trying to superimpose the commercial element over a nonprofit, that's when a lot of the people that come to work there will be disenfranchised with that approach.
Absolutely. Pete, that's really interesting. So the role of the board and the need, therefore, probably for coaching boards becomes really important to make sure that they're aware of that selection process. And yeah, thought on that?
Yeah, I think there's definitely coaching opportunities for boards, and I've done it previously. And some of the things we look at is, how do they understand their role in supporting the vision of the organization? And then how does governance play a role in keeping the mission of the organization within the swim lanes? And what I mean by that is, what are you set out to achieve? What are you incorporated to achieve? And how do your actions deliver that going forward? So that's the space of the board. And I think some boards need reminding and refreshing around that.
Yes, that's fantastic. So Pete, I guess the wrap up, the summary from both conversations with you is recognition that, you know, when you do become that CEO, it is lonely. You know, you're out there on your own a bit. So it's okay to ask for support, and coaching, not mentoring, is probably a really critical part of that. And that it's okay to make mistakes, but as long as you listen and then reflect that back out, and then acknowledge that your outcome may be different to the one you've seen, but in all cases, it's very positive. But coaching plays a really key role in that.
Yeah, coaching is like your compass, and we're both holding that compass together, pointing you in the direction that you need to be moving personally with the business, vision-wise, dealing with the board. And on that compass is true north, and that's where the board comes in. So the board keeps the business pointing true north, or the compass at least points true north. And so coaching plays a quite an important element in reminding people of their function, their role, and their capability to achieve it at the end of the day.
Fantastic. Pete, thanks very much. That's brilliant.
Thanks, Ed.
Thank you.